Can we ask the Lord this morning to speak to us? And I want you to do it in a very personal way and say, Lord, speak to me. I have come to hear you. Speak to me. Wherever you are hearing me, just ask the Lord to speak to you. Ask him to speak to you. Ask the Lord to speak to you. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we've prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I say hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Please, let's be seated. I'd like to appreciate everyone that is here today. Thank you for making it. The Lord will bless you. The Lord whom you have honored will also honor you in return. Whether you have come from near or far, God Almighty will bless you. And those of you who are with us in other parts of the world, I say to you also, for coming on online, the Lord will bless you. Let me read a scripture to commence the message for today. So that I don't forget, December Father's Business Summit is December 7th. There will be free eye check for us. An ophthalmologist will be here, and I can almost say that we can't get it better than that, because that's the state president of Ophthalmologist Association of Nigeria. So I don't know whether we can get it better. That's the number one eye doctor in this state. He will be here by the grace of God to help us check our eyes. As they say in Yoruba, even though God doesn't take eyes away from anybody, but that's the way Yoruba people say the prayer. All right, so please, it's going to be on first come, first serve basis. So I want to encourage you, especially if you are having issues with your eyes, if reading is becoming an issue for you, please come so that your eyes can be examined, and so that the appropriate line of medication can be prescribed for you. One of the things that happened about the eye is that sometimes until the problem becomes compounded, the owner of the eye himself or herself will not know. There are many people who have cataracts in their eyes that they don't know. There are many people who are already predisposed to glaucoma and they don't know. But that eye check will reveal all that. It's not any lengthy process. It's a very, in 1 minute, you've been examined. All right. So if there is any issue that you need to attend to, you can know and then do the needful. Praise the Lord. So, but if you know you are interested in that, please, next Father's Business Summit, come early. Come early. There won't be free treatment, but you can get subsidized treatment. You know. Praise the Lord. How many of us have had to go to Osu since we had May, talk on health. You have had to go to Osu, and many people here. Okay, some of you have gone. Okay, there are some other people who have gone that I know. And, you know, because you were here that day, it became possible for you to access some subsidized, you know, whatever. Okay, praise the Lord. I think I shouldn't forget this also. On the 12th of November, right here in this auditorium, we're going to be having women's meeting. Let our wives come, and let all the women in ministry come. I believe God has prepared something for us. The flyers are already available, so if you have not collected it already, please do. Hallelujah. Now, Mark 11. Let me just read a scripture to begin what I want to deal with today. I'm dealing with what I have titled Faith for Life and Ministry. Faith for life, for the Christian life, that is to say. And because we are ministers, I should, of course, say for ministry. Now, let me read Mark 11 from verse 22 unto us. And I'll stop in verse 26. Now, let me quickly say that we cannot, in one message, exhaust. We can't even scratch. Maybe we can only scratch the surface on the subject of faith. So there will be so many things that will be left unsaid, which, God helping us, we should go and do our due diligence to study up. The handout I've prepared, I've tried to make it as comprehensive as possible, but when I got here, I began to see again things that I would have wanted to say that I didn't remember to put in the handout. So God will help us. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Say it again, say faith.
Faith.
So Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and ye shall have them. 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. The simple meaning of the last two verses I read to you is that faith will not work for you if you don't forgive those who offend you. But that is just an example of not living by the word of God. I will come to that in the course of the message. So that the real meaning of what has been said here is that if you don't live by the word of God, because the word of God says forgive. Is that also? All right, so if you don't live by the word of God, faith will not what? Work for you. Praise the name of Jesus. I say praise the name of Jesus. Now, because we cannot have a comprehensive teaching on faith in this circumstance, I'm going to be picking here and there, drawing our attention to things that I believe we need to at least bear in mind, some essential things that I think we need to bear in mind. Now, the first thing I would like to say in trying to understand this subject matter, or in trying to introduce it, faith is not a gift. No, faith is not a gift. Say it with me. Say, faith is not a gift. Say it now, come on. Say it one more time. Now, I know that in 1 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible speaks of the gift of faith. But the faith I'm talking about is not a gift. Now, there is the ministry gift of faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the Spirit of God gives as one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit for those who are in, power ministry. Are you listening to what I'm saying? People who are in power ministry. When people are in power ministry, the gift of faith, the gift of diverse working of miracles, and the gift of healing will be manifestly present in their life because they are in power ministry. Please, are you listening to what I'm saying? You need to get me very clearly because this is very important. The ministry gift of faith is a specialized gift for ministry purpose, for people that are called into power ministry. Am I still clear? But the faith that you and I must have as a Christian is not what? A gift. All Christians must have faith. And all Christians are required to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. For we, everyone in the faith, for we, everybody that is a Christian, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now we will come, and in fact we'll have to use that scripture again and again. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now if that faith were to be a gift, then God will be partial, because he would have given some people what it will require to please him, and will not have given some people. And you and I know that God is not partial. So the faith we are talking about for your life, for you to live as a Christian, is not a gift. I need to reiterate it because there are people who believe that some people are blessed or gifted to have faith, and that they don't have the grace for faith. You're talking with some people, they will say, you have faith. God didn't give us that grace. There's nothing like that, please. There is nothing like that. The Bible says in Galatians 3:11, is there in Hebrews chapter 10, is there in Habakkuk chapter 2, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now, if faith is a gift for some people, then it means that only some people are going to be just. And just there simply refers to those who have been washed, who have been saved, who have been given the grace of righteousness in Christ Jesus. So everyone that is born again has faith and is expected to live by faith. Everyone. Everyone. From the Old Testament till the New Testament, it is always a requirement of walking with God. Always. Anyone who has anything to do with God must what? Must have faith, must walk by faith. Praise the name of Jesus. And maybe I should also quickly tell you that when you got born again, a deposit of faith was placed inside of you. So if there is anybody who doesn't have faith, it is because he did not develop his faith. Praise the name of Jesus. For God is not partial. Ephesians 2. Let's read it so that at least some of these things I'm saying will not look like what this man is talking about. Verse 8. Very popular scripture that everybody should know. For by grace are ye saved. Through what? So you can't be saved without faith. Or put differently, you can't be saved without you having faith. If you are saved there, can you wave your hands to me? Let me see. If you are sure you are saved. Now, if you are saved, you have what? So if faith, or if your faith is not working for you, it is because you didn't do what? You didn't develop it. Come on, say, I have faith. Shout it, come on. Say it very well now. Say it again. Say it again. If I don't finish this thing, you have it, so you can go and be looking at it on your own. The second point I'd like to quickly make, I'm just, randomly, because if I were to settle down, we won't touch so many things today. But I just have to do it randomly. Okay? God hides his face from people who don't walk by faith. So that if you understand what I'm saying, this message is important for you if you are going to walk with God. When God does not see faith manifest in you, what does he do? Talk to me, what does he do? Now, what that simply means is that you won't see the works of God. You won't see his hands. You won't see any manifestation of God in your life. And you go to mountain and now begin to pray. And begin to behave as if God is wicked. Whereas the law of the kingdom is the law of faith. So if you don't walk by that law, God is absent in your life, as it were. Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Bible says, God says something concerning the children of Israel, verse 20. Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. The Bible says that God said he wasn't happy with them, he wasn't pleased with them, because they were children in whom there's no faith. They were children in whom, and he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a froward generation, children in whom, when God looks at you and he doesn't see faith, he takes his face away. You can understand Hebrews 11:6 better. Without faith, when he does not see faith in you, you cannot please him. You know, one of the reasons why God takes his face away from people who don't have faith, or from his children, because he didn't deny them, he said they are children. Look, if it's about that thing, leave it, just come and enjoy the message. God calls them his children, he didn't deny them. But he says, because they don't have faith, faith is not in them, I will take my face away and I will not associate with them, because their lack of faith gives me a bad name. When a child of God, a minister of God, does not live by faith, people look at him and say, God is not present in his life. Because they don't see the acts of God. They don't see the move of God. They don't see the working of God in his life. And his life makes it look like God does not exist, or if he exists, doesn't have power. And God doesn't like that. And if you are not hearing me at all, hear this one I've just said. You need to go work on your faith, because until you do, you make people say your God does not have power. You make people contemn your God, despise your God, ridicule your God. I hope I will get there, but let me say it this way. One of the problems we have that does not allow us to walk by faith is that we don't want to be ridiculed. Not knowing that when we fail to expose ourselves to what I call the ridicules of faith, we ridicule the God of faith. I hope I'll get there, you know, to be able to explain it better. The third thing I like to say, just trying to understand and unbundle this thing we call faith. Every promise of God is legally assessed by faith. And please hear me clearly. Every promise of God is what? Legally assessed by what? By faith. Galatians 3:14. Every promise of God is what? Now that means you can also acquire the promises of God. How? Talk to me now. How? You are not talking to me. I said every promise of God is legally assessed by faith. I said that also means that you can also assess the promises of God. How? Illegally. I hope I'm not confusing you yet. But when you assess the promises of God illegally, that is, without faith, they will not last. They will not endure. And they have a tendency of putting you in trouble. Jesus was walking on the sea. And let's look at that scripture. Matthew 14. Let's just take the last verse, verse 31. I'm sorry, yeah? Verse 31, yes. Matthew 14, 31, please, if you get that for me. Matthew 13, 41. Now, Jesus was walking on the sea. Peter saw him walking. He said, Master, if you are the one, bid me what? Come. And so Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped on the sea and he began to walk. That was an experience of the blessing of God. The manifestation of the promise of God. But did it last? Jesus was there with him, but it didn't last. You know why? Verse 31. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, O thou of what? In other words, the reason why you began to sink while enjoying the blessing is because you were of what? And you doubted. My faith can work for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you get a blessing. But it's your faith that will determine whether that blessing will last in your hand. It's your faith that will determine whether that blessing will not become a problem to you. You know, sometimes people come to church, they have problems, and then they come, and then the man of God ministers to them, prays for them, and then God resolves the problems, and then they get a blessing. And then the next thing that happens after some time is that you don't see them in church again, and you ask them, why are they not coming to church? They tell you that it is the blessing that God gave them that is not allowing them to come. Maybe they were looking for a job, they now got the job, they will say it's the job. Now, that just shows you how this thing we call faith works. They got the blessing not by their faith, but by the faith of somebody else. So they are not able to keep it. So if you are going to assess God's blessings or promises, and if those blessings will last, better develop your faith. Amen. Faith, even though the Bible calls it Hebrews 11:1, the evidence of things not seen is itself visible. Faith can be seen. You know, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith itself can what? Can be seen. Faith can be seen. Jesus, the Bible says, he saw their faith. Mark 2:5. Jesus saw their faith. Faith can be sin. And you know the interesting thing that I have found out? Even unbelievers can see faith. And they can also see absence of what? Of faith. I don't know whether you have found yourself in a situation where you saw somebody, a Christian, behaving like an unbeliever, and an unbeliever is the one that is now talking to the Christian and saying, but I thought you people are what? Because they could see that this Christian that is supposed to have faith does not work. In fact, your faith is the evidence to the unbelieving world that God is real. It is your faith that they see that makes them conclude that your God is real. I put the example of Nebuchadnezzar there. You know the story. If you read 28 and 29 of Daniel chapter 3, Bible says, the man said, look, we threw three men into the fire. Lo, I see four walking around. And then he called those guys out and said, come out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the living God, who could not be burnt by the king's fire because they trusted in their God. Sometimes the word trust is a replacement for the word faith. So Nebuchadnezzar could see their faith, that these ones believed in God, and he could see the result of their faith. And that's an unbeliever king. So when you walk by faith, people see it and glorify God. When you don't, they also see it and wonder the kind of God you serve. And I say this is the reason why God is not happy when we don't live by faith. Because we just missed an opportunity for the unbelievers to acknowledge that our God is real. As a lack of faith will push you into perversion. And I hope God will help me to explain this very well to you. Matthew 17, 17. Lack of faith will push you into what? Perversion. And I put it there. You will do the things you were not supposed to do. That's what lack of faith will cause you. Lack of faith will make you go to where you shouldn't go, beg from people you shouldn't beg, ask for favors you didn't even need. You will embark on journeys you never should have started out on. Matthew 17, 17, he says, Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and what? Perverse. Because faithlessness and perversion always go together. Everyone that does not walk by faith will always do things wrong. Forgive me, let me use Yoruba. Shishe, shishe, mama, bani. If you check your life very well, if I check my life very well, every mistake we have done or we have made, they are often the results of what? Lack of faith. Unreadiness to walk by faith. In fact, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 gives us an impression that anyone that refuses to walk by faith will do unreasonable things. Of course, things that is unreasonable to God. Things that is unreasonable to Christianity. In fact, that scripture adds a second word. It adds wicked. Now, wickedness is not until you kill people. All the people that were destroyed in the wilderness, how many people did they kill? You didn't talk now. How many idols did they worship? But the Bible says they couldn't enter. God had to make an end of them. Why? Because of their unbelief. The reason why I'm sharing this is to whet your appetite and give you a reason to to want to do something about your faith condition. I also like you to note that faith is a protective shield. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 16 makes that very clear. The shield of faith. Now, if faith is a shield and I lack faith, what does that mean? Huh? Now, faith is your spiritual armor that keeps you away from the enemy's torture. If you don't walk by faith, Satan will torture you. If he's not, and forgive me, I'm not trying to say evil about anybody. If he's not torturing you now, wait for it, it's coming. Because faith is your shield. It's your protective shield. It's what protects you from the torture of your enemy. It's what keeps you from being exposed to the arsenals of the devil. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:19 also. I think it's important for us to look at that scripture. 1 Timothy 1:19. We will read as many of these scriptures that we can read. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made what? Shipwreck. Disaster is ahead if we don't do something about our faith situation. And I'm going to end on that note, but let me say it now. The times we are in the world, and particularly in Nigeria, again, permit me to say it in Yoruba, Oro goto ba ni faith. You are in trouble if you don't have faith. Let me say this also. Only the dead can walk by faith. I will take some time here because you need to get it clear. The reason why you've been having it difficult to walk by faith is because you are too much alive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. That's what Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. Now, when he says I've been crucified, it means I'm dead. The starting point of a life of faith is death. And that death is something that you must maintain for you to retain your faith. Am I making sense to you? He said, I'm crucified with Christ. In fact, I used to read that scripture this way, I have been crucified. But that's not what it says. It says, I am, which is a present continuous tense. It's an ever-present tense. You have to remain crucified for faith to do what? To walk. Because that faith itself was created by crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, how do I live it? I live by what? By the faith of the Son of God. So if you are not crucified, you can't live that life. And let me help you understand it, because you'll see a few things are put there. The flesh must die because it is an enemy of faith. This is our problem. It's because our flesh refused to die. The flesh must die because it is an enemy of faith. Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, when you combine that, Hebrews 11:6, you combine it with Romans 8:8, where the Bible says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It simply means they that are in the flesh cannot walk by faith. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, they that are in the flesh cannot walk by faith. No matter how well you pray, if you remain in the flesh, forget it. You cannot be in the flesh and be in the faith at the same time. You cannot be in the flesh.
You cannot be walking in the flesh. You cannot be minding the things of the flesh and still be in faith or walk by faith. At the same time, they are contrary to each other. Romans 4:19 says, or points it to us, that the flesh will always weaken faith. Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith. Why? Because he didn't consider his flesh. Because considering the flesh, what does it do? It weakens your faith. Your faith just dies out. Your faith will just, you know, it's like a balloon that, you know, gets. In fact, it's even worse than that. It's like when you had a major puncture in your tire. Because the balloon can take a little while for it to, but push like that. So if you're going to walk by faith, therefore, you must be dead. Somebody say dead. You know, we come to Christ to receive life. But that life can only be available when we first do it. So you must be dead to walk by faith. Dead to what people are saying or what people will say. Now, I have spoken to us in time past about some aspects of my life when I started out in full-time ministry. I've spoken to you how I was walking the length and breadth of this town, coming to the office every morning, and people will see me, you know, and you know, sometimes you don't appreciate the picture I'm trying to paint. In this same town, I was president of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, the first chapter president here. In this same town, I was a university lecturer. In this same town, I was, so to speak, deputy head of a frontline ministry. And everybody knew me. And those same people who knew me also saw me when I was walking as if my God can't provide for me. But I needed to endure that ridicule and be dead to what they might say or what they are saying. And let me also quickly let you know that some of the things being said were said by members of the household of faith, including ministers of God, who felt that I was too arrogant, that I was already, am I the only one? Was I the only one walking with God? I was saying God said I should go full time. What kind of spiritual arrogance is that when those who were ahead of me have not gone full time? Not knowing that the dealings of God are individual. But I needed to shut my ears. When I say shut my ears, not that I didn't hear it. I needed to pretend as if I didn't hear it. So you must be dead to what people. When God said to Abraham, a man who had no child, he said, from today, your name will no longer be Abraham. Your name will now be what? Abraham, which translates into what? Father of many nations. And everybody was calling him by that name. I mean, that was an embarrassment. That was a reproach. That was a ridicule. But for him to become the father of faith, he needed to endure that ridicule and be dead to it. Your unwillingness to be dead to what people will say is what has robbed you the grace for a life of faith. You must be dead to your reputation. I was just talking about myself here. You must be dead to your reputation. You look at yourself and say, somebody who has been going about with a vehicle, why will he now be walking around? That's not fine. And you will also use some religious sense to put it and say, there is no reduction in God. And then you will say, my God is not poor. And then you will say, my God has not called me to suffer. That Jesus has suffered all the suffering I should suffer. And so why should I? And all of those things you were saying, you are just saying them to keep your reputation. But the one who brought faith, the author and the finisher of our faith, of him it was written that he did what? He didn't consider his reputation.
In fact, he made himself.
But it takes a dead man to do that anyway. The living can't do that. So if you are too much alive, you can't do this thing. You know, sometimes, again, forgive me, I will speak Yoruba. Sometimes, when you choose to walk by faith, sometimes it makes you look like you don't know what you're doing. It makes you look like you're a fool. But Paul said, yes, we are fools for Christ's sake. So, everyone who has walked by faith has had to, you know, ditch his reputation. Everyone. When Noah was building the ark, by faith he built the ark. When he was building the ark, people were looking at him and wondering, what kind of a fool is this guy? We thought you had sense. We used to respect you. But this one you're doing. Have you ever heard of rain, water, flooded? You don't understand what you're talking about. But he needed to accept those taunts. You want to talk about Abraham? I've just spoken to you about Abraham. You want to talk about Moses? Let's read Moses, because it's good for us to see that. In fact, I can just talk about it. You remember, Bible says that Moses... Let's read it. Hebrews 11. Bible says he chose affliction. You remember? He didn't consider himself to be Pharaoh's child. Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 24. So here I say you must be dead to suffering. Dead to suffering. Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. We can read all of those things on our own. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he had an advantage. Faith sometimes will say you should drop your advantage. And then what did he do? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a moment. But sometimes not even about sin. He chose to endure affliction rather than to enjoy a faithless life. I think that's the way I'll put it. The Bible says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the treasures of Egypt. So you are dead to suffering. I put something here. I don't know whether it's in your note. Enduring faith is the product of endurance. In other words, faith that will last is the product of our readiness to do what? To endure. To endure suffering. There are a few other things there. You must be dead to fear. Fear of failure, fear of shame, fear of reproach. You must be dead to competition, because God has not called you anywhere to compete with anybody. Some people lose their walk of faith because they are trying to be like somebody else. So these are some things I need you to ponder about. And I'm sure that as you do, God will open your eyes to a few more things that can help you understand this issue of faith. Now, I put there, I said, essential qualities of winning faith. Number one, that faith must be in God. Well, we read in Mark 11, 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, some of us are in ministry, our faith is in our general overseer. Some of us are in ministry, our faith is in our uncle or brother. And God taught me this one in a very harsh way right from the beginning. Because when I came into full-time ministry, I thought, I had a belief that people will support me. I felt I had a legitimate expectation considering the people whose life God has used me to touch and who are well pleased.
And on the day of the inauguration of the ministry, when I saw the crowd of people that came, it reaffirmed my expectation. In fact, people that had no business, including unbelievers, my colleagues in the university there, they came in their numbers. I was looking at them, I said, ah, you came? He said, ah, I must be here. Ah, you came? Ah, I must be here. Ah, you, ah. I said, ah. I saw friends coming in from different places, from Abeokuta, from everywhere. I said, wow, what a day. Not one. Not what? Not one supported this work. Maybe I was the problem because my faith was in them. Maybe. So that they are not the one that is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing is wrong with them. Because a man cannot receive anything. Because I've always known that anyway, you can't give me anything except what God gives you to give me. And so maybe some of you should learn that lesson. Don't be annoyed or don't begin to be bitter because somebody didn't give you, somebody you thought or expected should give you something didn't give you. He cannot give you if God has not given him to give you. He can be living with you, seeing your troubles and having everything that can solve your troubles and still will not give you. He's not wicked. Hello? He's not what? Why didn't he give you? You know, in those days, I used to say, even if God didn't speak to them, they should know. That there are certain people that does not need to be led. They just should lead themselves. They should just know. Oju bodo sona fun won. Won bodo meto. But somebody may know what to do. And God does not give it to him to do. When I say God does not give it to him to do, does not mean I'm saying that the person does not have. He can have. And yet God has not given. So it must be in God. Psalm 121, David said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The word help there can also be called faith. My help cometh from the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. Oh, yigi, yigi, oba, okay. My trust is in you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:2 talks about faith towards God. It's a fundamental of this life that we are called to live. And there are some of us pastors whose faith are in our congregation. We just believe that when we get into the church and we raise the money, for instance, it doesn't always work that way. And I've seen some things. You can get the money and not get the benefit. In other words, you get the money, but it still won't. It won't solve the problem. Not because the money is not enough, but because, don't forget, every promise of God is what? Legally assessed by what? So that sometimes with all the money you raise every time, things really haven't gotten so well for you now. Say, Lord, have mercy. Say it again. Say, Lord, have mercy. So Jesus said, have faith in God. Bible says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, must believe that he is sufficient, must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, many of us believe God, but we don't believe what I've just said.
Because it is our lack of belief in him that makes us to create alternatives. Long ago, I told myself there's no alternative. It has made my journey to look like a bit long. But small by small, I will arrive. I will get where I'm going. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So until our faith is in God, we cannot exercise it. We can't. Number two, that faith must be in and about, and please mark my words, that faith must be in and about Jesus Christ. John 14:1, Jesus said, believe in God, believe in me also. Believe in God, believe in me also. There are two dimensions to that, to the question of, you know, the faith being in Christ and being about Christ. There are two dimensions to it. The first is that we must, our faith must be in, you know, resting on the finished work of Calvary. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left us. It's not just for salvation from sin that the cross paid. Everything in this life, salvation from sin, healing of diseases, prosperity, supply of our needs, favor, a good job, a good family life, everything, Jesus paid for it. The cross settled it. I must believe that the sacrifice needed for me to cross that problem has been what? Has been paid. That's faith. Praise the name of Jesus. Faith says Jesus died and paid it all to make a way for me. That's what will give you the result you want in life. That's what will give you the result you want in ministry. Praise the name of Jesus. Faith says I'm hanging on the finished work of Calvary. Faith says I'm depending on Christ to make things happen for me. Faith says I am looking up to God to do it for me for Christ's sake. One of the greatest blessings God gave me is to shall I call it, open my eyes very quickly in ministry by reason of what I told you earlier on, that people that I thought or that I expected will be helping me, didn't help me. You know, if they had helped me in the beginning and then got to a point where the arm of flesh can no longer help and then they disengaged, I would have been in serious trouble. But blessed be God that right from the beginning they didn't help. So quickly I needed to, because I needed to continue, I needed to live. So I needed to quickly put my faith where it should go. And some of you are not that fortunate. And then I said, winning faith must also be the faith of Jesus. In other words, Jesus lived a life of faith as an example for us. That's what the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. He said, though we are compassed about, Hebrews 12 from verse 1, though we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every sin, every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, he is the example of faith. So the faith you must have must be patterned. The faith you are called to live by must be patterned after the faith of Jesus. In other words, the question to always ask yourself is, how did Jesus do it? If he didn't depend on men, it's a sentence to you as well, not to what? Depend on men. If he didn't go about begging, it's a sentence to you not to go about begging.
You know, there are choices. I will come there. Okay, I should even have said that earlier. Faith, I said, is not a gift. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. So winning faith must also be the faith of Jesus. That is the type of faith professed and practiced by the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus went to the cross by faith. Let me say a few things there so that you understand what I'm saying. Before Jesus went to the cross, you know, the arrangement between him and the Father is that he will go to the cross and then on the third day he will be raised. Now, God had never done that for anybody before. So Jesus had no example to leverage on. He just had to believe that God will do what he said. You know, when you are dead, you can't do anything. You can't change your mind. When you are dead, you can't change your mind. You can't say, okay, I'm not doing it again. So Jesus got himself into a point where he could not do anything again. Believing that God will honor his word. That's the kind of faith we are called to practice. I saw something in Hebrews 13, verse 21, I think. It said, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood. So each time I read that scripture, what it says to me is, God must have said something that looks so unreasonable to Christ, that you spill your blood, it is your blood that will bring you back to life. That doesn't make sense. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of truth, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through what? How was he brought back from the dead? Which is the blood of the everlasting covenant. So how can you sell that to me and I will have, I mean, it takes great faith. To tell me that I will die, shed my blood, and then my blood will. But Jesus had to believe. So that tells me that the faith of Jesus is a faith that is not reasonable. And that to live by faith, you must be prepared to be what? After the order of men. When I was leaving the university, that's a long, you know, I'm not mourning that now. I mean, it's long, long, long time ago. That's 27 years ago. I'm in my 28th year now. But this is the point I want to make. When I was leaving, my initial thought was to take what we call a sabbatical leave, wherein the university will pay me for 1 year for not working for them. Because I was already overdue. And I thought to do it, and God said to me, if you take a sabbatical leave, and they ask for a list of the staff of the university where you're working, will your name be there or not? And I said, my name will be there. Then he said, you have not left. You have not left. So I left it. Now, here's my point. To every right-thinking person, that was a stupid thing to do. I agree. It was stupid. Because in any case, maybe you have left now. So if you're going to walk by faith, you must be ready to do the unreasonable, but scripturally reasonable. That faith, number three, must be in the word of God. Faith says, God's word says it, I believe it. And as they say in that song, that settles it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Listen, I will come back to say it, but let me say it now again. We are entering into a time when the arm of flesh will fail. When all your capacity to make things happen for yourself will no longer walk.
When people earn wages, it will be like they are putting it in a purse that has holes. We're entering a season when, like the Bible says, the bed will be narrower than. So that faith must be in the word of God, which is also the word of faith. Bible says faith cometh by hearing. You remember that. Romans 10 and verse 17. That is the word that has brought faith. That is the word that can sustain it. I will still say a few more things about that. The word of God is the engine room of faith. It sets out the parameters of faith. If you cannot believe the word of God, you can neither have faith nor exercise it. When it gets to nurturing our faith, I will come back to speak a little more on this. Faith says, God's word has said it, I believe it, and it shall be unto me according to his word. If there is no scriptural basis for your faith, then it is mere courage of heart. Now, you can have courage. You can have natural boldness. It's different from faith. What makes it faith is that there is a scriptural basis. That's why Frederick Casey Price will teach us in those days about what he called faith, foolishness, or presumption. You can be presumptuously bold and do things that are not covered in the Word of God. But when the Word of God covers it, then you can call it faith. And then I said, that faith must also be what I call the faith of our fathers. In other words, it is the faith that other saints have practiced. Faith of our fathers, living still. Hebrews 6:12. Be you followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Be ye followers of them who through faith inherit the promise. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Whose faith follow? 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 Praise the name of Jesus. So what I'm saying in essence is that faith is not an empty idea. It is founded on God, founded on the Lord Jesus Christ, founded on the scriptures, and founded on, because the Bible talks about the ancient landmarks. The Bible says we have a cloud of witnesses. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate God. Follow me as I follow Christ. So it is faith founded on the foundations of the patriarchs, of the apostles. It's not an empty thing. It's not something that does not have a context. It does have a context. So, for this faith to work, you must nurture it. And so, I want to quickly talk, maybe five things also very quickly, on what to do to nurture your faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says, faith can be perfected. It can be made strong. You can move to your next level of faith if you do the right thing. I have lived my life by faith. But every time I go again to read Hebrews 11 to try and see what next to do to push my faith forward. And maybe I should recommend that to you as well. Take time, maybe at least once a month, read Hebrews 11. And see how those who went before you, how they lived by faith. And if you read Hebrews 11, you meditate on it very well, it will also correct some of your theology about faith. Because there you will see, we didn't have time to read it, there you will see that winning faith does not always mean something is credited to you physically. Because the Bible says some endure torture by faith. Some were not willing to be delivered
by faith.
Now, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17. I also now put it there. I said faith stays. Faith comes by hearing. Faith stays by keeping the word you have heard. Faith is retained by retaining the word. Praise the Lord. Faith matures and improves and increases and endures by doing the word. The word of faith will not deliver faith to you when you don't live in the word. The problem of our generation is that we live too much in the flesh. We live too much by human ideas. Until you are able to use the word of God to resolve every question, you cannot grow in faith. If you find yourself in a problem situation and you cannot ask yourself, what will the word of God want me to do? You can't live by faith. Do you know you can believe and not have faith? I hope I'm not creating problems. You know you can believe and not have faith. Every time you did things that were contrary to faith, you believe first now. That thing you went to beg somebody else for, maybe you first prayed. It was when you waited for God that God did the answer that you went to the other person. Is that not so? You're not talking. Is that not so?
Yes.
So why were you waiting for God? Because you believed. But you didn't have. Now, faith is what says, even if God does not do it, let it stay that way. Okay, let me give you a scenario. Many years ago, maybe I've said something close to it here before. Many years ago, many years ago, about 26, 27 years ago, in those days, we eat only once in my house. And we eat whatever we find. So there is this particular day. And the normal thing is that it's when I come back from office that we eat. Trusting God that maybe I'll come with 20 naira or with, 30 naira or 50 naira or something. And then my wife will run to the night market, trying to quickly fix a few things. Okay, she said a few things of that last father's business something. So there was this particular day. I came home. There was nothing. Absolutely nothing. I brought nothing home. There was nothing at home. And then we suddenly, I remember that, there was one fufu, yesterday or something. And I told them, I said, okay, let's eat the fufu. But there was only enough. We were three adults and two children. There was only enough stew to serve like two. So I told them to take the thing, trusting that before the night will close, something will. So when it was 10 p.m. and they closed our gates, I knew. Now, you can believe, and you'll be looking at the time. By the time you see that very soon the gate will be closed, you will say, well, it appears. So you quickly go out and look for alternative. But that day, I waited. It will happen. It will not happen. It will happen. 10 o'clock, they closed the gate. So I knew it was all over. So I said, okay, the small fufu that remains, bring it. I was just using water to take the thing. Now, that faith didn't produce the kind of result I wanted. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Now, you will think that faith failed, but it didn't. Because that faith insisted that it is either God or nothing. That's faith. Now, the problem is, few of us can endure it to that point. Many years ago, I chose. I would rather live by faith and die in it than to live without faith. Now, that's tough. That's what? Tough. But that was me. The good news is that I've not died. I'm alive and well. When you live by the word of God, your faith is nourished. When you depend on the word of God, your faith is nourished. I said also, a life of prayer can grow or increase faith. After all, the disciples said to Jesus in Luke 17, they say, increase our faith. But what I found out is that if you pray that kind of a prayer, what God will do is to give you troubles that will make you walk by faith. If you pray, God increase my faith, what does it do? It gives you troubles. Some people like to call it challenges. Whether you call it challenges or not, it will give you something that will tempt you to want to look elsewhere. So that you make a choice. Faith grows through charity. This is one thing I've also observed. And maybe God will help me to help you here. I have never seen a man of faith who is not a giver. I've never. Check your Bible. Check life. Now, you... You may not like what I'm about to say, and some of you may think it's not true. But it is the solemn truth. Your faith life is directly proportional to your giving life. Directly. 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 If you are not a giver, you can't walk in faith. And the extent to which you are a giver. Now, forget about whether you have or you don't have. Because giving has nothing to do with whether you have or you don't have. Praise the Lord. Where is Matthew? Giving has nothing to do with whether you have. It's a life. It's a life. Give me any man of faith, you find a giver. Any. Your level of faith is the way it is because of your level of giving. You don't believe me? Let's look at the scriptures. 2 Peter, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving what? What's the meaning of giving all diligence? Praise the Lord. What's the meaning of giving all diligence? Can somebody help me? Paying attention. Make all effort. Now, when the Bible says giving all diligence, whatever he tells you to give diligence to,
That thing will not come by itself until you do something about it.
As a matter of fact, not only until you do something about it, until you do something serious and drastic about it. So it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith, what? What is virtue? What is virtue? The Yoruba Bible calls it what? How do you determine somebody who has good character? Have you studied Proverbs 30 and looked at the virtuous woman? Have you looked at her life? Have you found that it's a life of giving, of doing things for the others at her own expense? Okay, in case you are still having issues, let's go to verse 7. He says, add to your faith virtue, and then you go to verse 7, brotherly what? What makes you kind? Eh? It's what you do for others, including those who don't what? Deserve it. Because as a matter of fact, kindness is doing good to the person who doesn't deserve it. If he deserves it, it's called reward. If you do it for me because I deserve it, you are only giving me my what? My due. Your faith life is proportional to how many people you are doing good for. Look at the last one. And then to brotherly kindness, what? What is charity? What is love? Do you know the meaning of love? Understand it from John 3:16. Where there is no giving, forget it, there's no love. Not that there is no true love, there is no love at all. Every non-giver is not walking in love. You know, this message is not about giving. But I have to talk about it. In October, how much left you to some other people's lives? Hello? You people don't like it once I start talking like this. In October, today is November 2nd. In October, how much left you to other people? In October, how much left you to God or to the cause of God or to the work of God? Those are the things that will tell whether your faith will grow or not. Believe it or you don't. Let me ask you again. Tell me one man of faith you know that is not a giver. Just tell me one. Whether in the Bible or in contemporary life. Just give me one example. You are free, you are in lake waiting. I'm waiting. Nobody is talking. Let me say this to you again. Never ever say I don't have, that's why I've not given you. There's nobody like that in this world. No one. No one. I've always said it. You don't have. You have nothing. Your nothing puts clothes on your body. Is that not so? Your nothing puts food in your mouth. Is that not so? Your nothing, for those of you who have bike, put fuel in your bike. For those of you who have vehicle, your nothing puts what? Fuel in your vehicle. For those of you who have children, your nothing feeds your children. Abi? Your nothing pays your children's school fees. Your nothing pays your house rent. Do you know that there are people who have nothing who have built houses? They have built their own house, but every time it comes to giving, what do they say? Even God knows that I what? But
A man's nothing that can do all those things, it can be a blessing to somebody else. There are men of God here, pastors, women of God, whose nothing have built their churches. They don't have anything. True. But they have built their church. This man is clapping for their nothing. Because the nothing that can do all those things, we should clap for them. I told my wife some time ago, I think it was last year or so, I said, I made up my mind that even when people give for projects, I tithe it. You know, the giving already has a label. I tithe it. You know why? Something made them to give it. I don't want that thing to stop. Because if they didn't give it anyway, I still must find a way to do what I need to do. Praise God. Someone gave for us to have these doors. Okay, suppose the person refused to give. So I will say, because nobody gave, I will not put door. I have to find a way, trust God. The money I should use to eat, keep putting it in doors. But that person came, gave for the door, so I didn't need to use the money for my food to do door. I want that to continue. So I said to God, take your own out of it. Take your own out of it. Listen, I'm making a point. Your giving life determines your faith life. If you don't believe it, too bad. Too bad. If your faith will grow, you must communicate it. Philemon verse 6, it says that the communication of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. Now, you communicate it by speaking forth every good thing that God has done for you. What does that mean? Now, that's a whole topic in itself that I don't have time to deal with. Talking about how your words affect your faith. But I don't have time to deal with that. But here's the point I want to make. Every time you complain, you destroy your faith. When I come to you and all I hear from you are the things that God has not done, you are using your own mouth to do what? To destroy your faith. Every time you open your mouth and all you are saying is what God has not done, the problems you are having, what are you doing? He said that the communication of your faith might become effectual. In other words, that your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of not the bad thing, not the worrying thing, not the troubling thing, but every good thing. Maybe you give me that scripture, verse 6. That the communication of your faith might become effectual. It becomes more and more effectual as you acknowledge the positive things of God. That is the foundation for words like, well, let the weak say I'm strong. It's not foolishness. But the most important dimension to this matter is that stop talking down your own faith. Let me help you understand me a little more. Your ear is close to your mouth. The closest mouth to your ear is your own mouth. The mouth that can affect your hearing and your being most is your own mouth. So if the mouth that is closest to your ear talks down on your faith, no matter the messages you hear, no matter what you read, no matter what you do, that faith will not grow. Because en kule lotawa ile la sheminbe. A man's enemies are members of his own household. You have a close enemy in your mouth, so there is no favor anybody can do for you. Am I making sense this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter. We did a Bible study in church here, I think just last month. It says, speak what you believe. Speak what you believe. Now, some of the things you say, you yourself don't believe it. I am finished. Now, you didn't believe it, but you said it. For what reason? Faith speaks for you to grow. Speak what you believe. And keep speaking what you believe. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. He says, we also have believed, therefore we what? We speak. Never speak if you don't believe it. If your faith will grow, you must understand that holding on to faith is a fight. That's why the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. That's why it says, contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Jude, verse number 3. So, it's a struggle. It's a fight. Because the devil knows if he could take your faith, he has taken you. The devil knows if he could get your faith, he's gotten you. So it's a fight. And let me tell you, everything I've told you to do, the devil will fight you to ensure you don't do it. Because he knows that if you do it, your faith will take a leap. And he knows that if your faith takes a leap, it's finished. He will stand to ensure you don't give. He will stand to ensure that you don't live in the word of God. He will stand to ensure every ordinance that God wants you to submit to, he will make sure you don't do it. That's why to give is a fight. Until you have rest, you have gotten to, because there's a level you get to that the devil says, okay, I know this one, I can't. So it's a fight. I remember in those days when I was still working and earning salary, I just told myself there are certain things that I must do. I don't want to go to heaven without those things being on my account. For example, I said, I must not get to heaven and it is written that I never gave my entire salary. I told myself, I was working there, collecting salary. I was doing all of those things for a purpose. To transfer my, what do you call it, expectation. Now, forgive me, I'm not saying, thank God, you are not my members, quote and unquote. So I'm not saying it so that you can come and give me your salary. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But I just wanted, because, okay, if I give my salary and I have a wife, I have children, my wife wasn't working, how do we feed? Talk to me, how do we feed? No, talk, I want you to talk. How do we feed? It has to be God, or we are going to starve. So I was doing it deliberately. I'm going to close this. I was doing it deliberately because I used to tell some of these my young people, I said, you better develop your faith now. Your wife, if you are not married, you are not developing your faith. Your wife is coming to live on your faith. Your children are coming to live on your faith. So the faith can't carry you. You have young children, they have not gone to university. Their university, whatever, is going to be on your faith. You better develop it now. Read the remaining thing there. You can read it yourself. I talked about the reward of faith. You can read it there, please. You can read all of these things there. You know, but the point I'm making in closing is this. This is the time for you to go and do something about what we're talking about. It's going to be literally impossible to live in this world now without faith. What is coming is not good. I'm not a bad prophet. I'll be a prophet of doom. But what is coming, you can see the signs anyway. Develop your faith. Tell your neighbor, say, develop your faith. Tell your neighbor, say, develop your faith. Finally, let me tell you this. Everybody will get old. Is that correct? Or is there anybody else who doesn't want to get old? Everybody will get old. If you are working on obtaining salary or collecting salary, you will get to a point that you will no longer collect salary. Is that correct? All the preachers here that are jumping up and down, preaching here and there, actively ministering to your people, I will tell you the truth. One day is coming, that you won't be able to do that again. All of you raising funds, one day is coming, you won't be able to stand to raise fund. And you will still be alive. And you must still live. So what will carry you then? Eh? The faith you don't develop? Eh? The faith you don't develop? One day is coming, nobody will invite you anymore because you can't even stand to go and answer invitation. Hello? Now when you have need, you have hand to text and say, please help your brother. Abi? One day is coming, you won't be able to, you won't even see it clearly to type any text. I'm telling you realities. And like I told one of these my sons some years ago. I said, as you grow old, your needs may no longer be extensive, but they will become intensive. Do you know the meaning of that? You know, you don't eat plenty things anymore. You know what I mean? How many food will an old man eat? But he will need more money to take care of his health. He will need more money to do what his strength cannot do. For example, over the last few days, my sons have been going up and down, you know, fixing a number of things because of this meeting. So they've been taking my vehicle, going about with it, you know, different persons riding, you know, driving the vehicle and all of that. You don't know that has implication for the health of the vehicle. No, you don't know. You don't know that what that means is that maintenance of that vehicle will cost more. Why? Because I can no longer do all of those things. So what I can do, I have to use money to do it. And as you grow, your capacity to make money diminishes. Except, of course, if you have investment. And if Nigerian inflation does not override the investment. So in all of these things I'm painting, what will now help you? The just stand to your feet. The just shall live by faith. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt
away. Oh, let me from this day be holy. God.
May thy rich grace impart.
May thy rich grace
strength to my fainting heart.
Strength to my faith.
My zeal inspire.
My zeal inspire.
As thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee.
Oh, may my love to thee.
Your woman, changeless be.
Your woman, changeless be.
A living fire.
A living fire.
Oh,
why life's darkness attracts.
Let's sing it.
Where lies darkness and dread, where death so small is dim, shine only red. Blessed your day.
Leave us with just two prayer points. The first is a prayer of repentance, a call to repentance. My aim is not to make you feel bad, but I need to say it to you that it is a sin not to walk by faith. Because in any case, like I pointed out to you, God said, I will hide my face. What makes God to hide his face from us? He says, the hand of the Lord is not short. His ears are not heavy. That he should not hear us. But what? Sins. Our sins and our iniquities have what?
Separate.
Shema, we should read the scriptures together. And then he now comes and says, these children, there is no faith in them. I will hide my face. You should just quickly marry that with Isaiah 58. You should marry it. Comparing scripture with scripture. That thing that we are doing, that we think, you know that's what we say. See, my faith can't carry it. My faith can't carry it. And heaven is weeping and saying, if you knew what you are doing to yourself. So I want us first and foremost, I'm going to drop this microphone, you know, shut right now. But I want you to pray, number one, and ask that God will forgive you. We want to pray. I want to pray that God will forgive me for every step of unbelief I have taken. Now, if I myself were to count the steps of unbelief I have taken, in spite of whatever testimonies I have given you about myself, only God knows. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to ask for forgiveness from God concerning the steps of unbelief I have taken. And then the second prayer point, because I'm going to give you the two and leave you to it. The second prayer point is that God will help my faith.
I mean, the disciples said to him, "Oh Lord, increase our faith." What it means is that God should just help them. Because if he doesn't help us, how do we do it? How do we do it? So I'd like you to pray to God. Number one, God, forgive me for every steps of unbelief I've taken. And then, Lord, help my faith. Shall we begin to pray in the name of Jesus? Reverend Mark, please.